boys and girls, it's me, your host with the most, Hunter, here again with another Paranormal Rabbit Hole episode, and we're going to dive down in there, and we're going to go back into last living dinosaurs again. We kind of talked about it last episode. Talking about it now. Beep, boop, beep. There you go. Honestly, just realistically, just going to get right back into it and see if we can't, go over these, how should we say, these last living flighting. They're great at rhyming. I don't know. These flying mystery animals, you know, we're going to look into it. I don't know. It just devolved there. Devolved from a conversation that you... It went belligerent real quick, and I am not even drunk yet. You guys know how this goes. Catch on up. Just catch on up to what we're doing here. But just to kind of get back to it, you know, we want to make sure that everybody's all nice and excited and happy and warm. I'm getting a little more comfortable covering these cryptid subjects, and I've found my rhythm, I think, finally. You know, and I'm sure you guys are like, this dude's all over the place. He's all over the place. Let's get more structure. Well, guess what, boys and girls? We listen. We love your reviews. Even the ones that are they're not harsh, but they are good constructive criticism. I'll say that. And every show needs that. Every show needs to improve somehow. So let's move on and let's talk about these cryptids, though. Let's talk about these dinosaurs that are probably still existing out here in the world. And we're going to talk about two specific ones because, like I said, they're flying dinosaur cryptids. You know we're talking about those dactyl flyers, those sky-high creatures that make us say, ooh, because we're like, what? No. Oh, okay, yeah, that's a dinosaur. It's like Jurassic Park. But let's jump into it. But actually, first, I'm sorry. I hate to do this to you guys, but we're going to rewind it just a bit. Just a little bit there. And say, go check us out. The Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast on Instagram. That is your search word. The Paranormal Rabbit Hole Podcast. All one word on Instagram. Find us there. Follow us. Tell us what you want us to cover, or me. Well, us, because, you know, I have somebody that edits and produces this show for me. Couldn't do it without him. Kind of need him. But let us know. Let us know. And we're starting to get a little more research going on. So, ooh, all right. But yeah, let's do this. Okay, yeah. Oh, also follow and subscribe to this podcast, obviously. Pass it on to a friend. Word of mouth is one of the best ways to get our podcast out there to everyone else. Let them know that you're listening to the Paranormal Rabbit Hole because it's fun and we drink. You know, you can drink with this podcast. Not drink and drive. Don't do that. Or drink at work. Don't do that. Keep it responsible. Don't drink and drive. You know? All right? Let's not do that. Don't drive under the influence, boys and girls. Safety first. For everyone around you, too. All right. Now, let's dive into these two cryptids that are very similar. And we are talking about the Ropen, of course, from Papua New Guinea, and Kongamoto from, well, Angola, Zambia. We have a guest in the studio today that is just buzzing around. And it is not a bee. It is a fly. And he's just been here. But he is flying around right now because he's excited about learning about these flying cryptids. So we're going to start out with the Kongamoto. It is mostly seen in southern regions of Africa, or the Congo regions of Africa, Zambia, and Angola. Zambia, not Zambia. They're not full of zombies. It's okay. We will talk about zombies. We will talk about voodoo zombies, too, because that's a whole different thing. Like, voodoo zombies and TV zombies, two different things. Two different things. I mean, I've known this for a while, and you probably have, too. So we know this. We know. We're not silly. We're not stupid. Come on. But let's talk about this. Kongamoto, large pterosaur-like cryptid, basically resembles the folkloric flying monster wings, two claws on it, or 2 feet, two wings, dragon-like, lizard-like face. Its name means breaker of boats or the overturner of boats, as the Kongamatos are said to have capsized several of the natives' canoes. So these things are no issue attacking people. They have no issue attacking people. They will flip your boat. They will take you out. But they've been attacking people who ventured close to the rivers nearby. It's described as a reddish lizard with a membranous wing, teeth in its beak, and a wingspan ranging from 4 to 100 feet across. When shown a picture of a pterosaur, native said that it was the picture of the Kongamoto. The accounts told of these creatures are similar to the ones that describe the ropin, which is why we're going to talk about the ropin, because they're very similar, as well as several other creatures. There are several historic reports of European explorers who were attacked by large winged creatures, and quite often people were reported to see the wounds from the Kongamoto. So we're going to stop right there. So first of all, these explorers, if they're these, you know, British explorers and European explorers like that says they are, they haven't seen a lot of the animals that Africa has to offer, like the giant fruit bats, some of the shoe-billed storks, the saddle-billed crane, I think, or the saddle-billed stork and the shoe-billed stork are two of them that live in Africa. Shoe-bill is pretty rough. They can be pretty aggressive towards people if the people get near their nests or their breeding ground. They can be pretty aggressive. Their beaks are huge. Their beaks are dangerous because they've got a sharp point and they can hurt you. They can hurt you. They got all of the necessary tools. It's kind of like the, what are they? The cassowary. They're deadly. They're real deadly. The Australian cassowary. So a flightless bird, a flightless Australian bird, the cassowary. Check it out. Worth the look. Not a cryptid, but still worth it. If you haven't seen it. But the Kongamoto said to also dig graves and steal human corpses because in Africa, burials aren't so deep, so the birds are able to go land and redig up the grave and, you know, take the flesh. They mostly eat fish, but on occasion they have dined on human corpse. Most of the Kongamoto sightings have happened in what happened to be large prime viewing spots for bird watchers, but yet a very annoying factor is that you would think a lot of bird watchers would see it, and there have been several bird watchers in and out of there, and they have not seen anything like it. So the Kongamoto may just be a case of you know, wrong creature, right timeline, you know. But they so what always bothers me is, you know, we have these people who go and they say, oh, well, if you show them a picture of a dinosaur, they're going to think that it's, you know, something that's natural today because they don't know any better. And like, no, they know better. They know better. They know what these animals that live in there in their area look like. If I remember correctly, one of the stories of Kongamoto with the European explorers that it swooped down and stole his hat and then carried off one of his guides. And the guide was, you know, just screaming. And I mean, I would be too. It's like being carried off by the Thunderbird or a giant eagle, you know. But again, like I said in the beginning earlier, Africa has large fruit bats. There are large fruit bats in several temperate and you know, or not temperate, but in several jungle climates. There are large fruit bats, large birds that inhabit all of Africa. The saddlebill and the shoebill stork, just to name a few. And they can look very prehistoric. I mean, if you look them up, they look very prehistoric. I'll actually share pictures when we post this, the story of those two birds. But it's fascinating because they are very big and very impressive and almost, I would, if they, they're almost intimidating, but in a way of not like, oh, I wouldn't mess with that. It's more of a, that's a very big and striking bird. Like you would look at it and go, shit, that thing looks huge and powerful and prehistoric. You could mistake that for a dinosaur if you didn't know any better. And you could. I mean, the shoebill stork looks very, very crazy. So it's just one of those that you have to maybe think these native people in Africa know what the shoebill and what the saddlebill stork look like. They know what they live around 24/7. So if you show them a picture of the stork and then a dinosaur together, are they going to say that that's the same thing, or are they going to say that's different? You know, are they really going to know? Now, some of them, yes, they will more than likely. And more often than not, 99.9%, they're probably going to go, well, we've got that. That's right outside. We see those walking in the water fishing all day. That's a saddlebill stork. That's a shoebill. Why are you showing me these birds? That's not it. That's it right there. What's that thing? What's that? That's what I see. This little reptile looking thing, this dragon thing right here, that's what I've been seeing there, and it's up there. One thing I can't say is I know that they're supposed to dwell in like caves and cliffside caves. Have any explorers been up to all of these caves? Can they get to all these places that these birds are said to hide in Africa? I mean, that's something else we have to think of. Are these places explorable? Are the places that they're nesting reachable? Are they, and we just miss them? Maybe wrong side of the mountain. Who knows? Who knows? If they truly still exist in our world, it would be hard to know if we could get to a nest. It would be hard to know if the nest is even reachable. It would be hard to know if that's something you want to screw with. Like, do you want to screw with an angry pteranodon or an angry pterodactyl? You know? And honestly, do we mess with that ecosystem? You know, are they there? And, you know, realistically, are they there for a purpose to keep fish populations down? I mean, they're taking corpses. That's freaking crazy. But I mean, it's food source. So there you go. You know, you can't hate when you're just optimizing your food source, even though that's nasty, you know? But is it mistaken identity? Is it the shoebill? Is it the saddlebill? Is it these giant bats? You know, what are these people seeing that they're convinced is a dinosaur? Let's go to Papua New Guinea. Papua New Guinea is one of the most fertile rainforests, lush jungles out there, and it's mostly undiscovered because, you know, it's just it's really newer to really everything. And it's got such a vast ecosystem that's new. So, but in Papua New Guinea, we have the ropan, which is just like Kongamoto. It's a pterodactyl. Most of them see them as pterosaurs of pteranodon style. The crest, you know, the long beak and the crested head, large wingspan. Most of these dinosaur descriptions turn out to be like that, and that's okay. That's okay. You know, it's like the Loch Ness Monster. Is it a plesiosaur? Is it a chronosaur? Is it a mosasaur? Is it a eel? Is it a dragon? Is it a ancient whale? Is it an ancient fish? Who knows? There are so many descriptions that we get of cryptids. And it's almost funny if you think about it. You know, we get these different descriptions of cryptids, and it's like, oh, shit, this one looks like a bat. Well, this one doesn't look like a bat. It looks more like a pteranodon. No, it looks like a giant crow. No, it looks like a big black eagle. Because that's what they, you know, the Thunderbird said to look like a giant black bird, a giant black eagle or bird of prey, or a giant crow, you know, so it's, who knows. Several different descriptions of one creature. So, again, Ropin, right there in the same field, several descriptions, you know. Some say it's very bat-like. Some believe that it's... I'm trying to think of the exact. It's like Ramphrodacodile or something. I butchered that name. Ramphoricida. The one with, it's the pterosaur that has the bald head, no crest on its head, and the spaded or diamond-shaped tail. So some people think it's a bat, but up for debate. You know, there's an explorer who I think it was a woman, actually. What was her name? What was her name? Shit. I don't know. Chessman. Oh my God. Evelyn Chessman. She said that they were these anomalies that were flying around over Papua New Guinea. And this is the interesting part, folks, about the Ropin. This is the one thing that makes it stand out from all the others, is that the Ropin has a bioluminescence, so its body glows when it has, when it flies around at night. So I can say this: there are several videos out of Papua New Guinea that show bioluminescent flying anomalies. They're not like UFOs either. They're almost biological. And it's very interesting to watch. And so in Papua New Guinea, they say these things are just like in the Kongamoto's case, they're giant pterosaurs that are, you know, eating people, fish. Now the difference is, like I said, this, the Ropin, some people may say it's a bat, but in one of them in 1935, the two roads of Papo, the baffling lights lasted about 4 or 5 seconds. So these things were flying around, and they would fly for about, and you would see the bioluminescence for about 5 seconds. Now this is very almost ironic in the fact that there's another species on this island. The Mboi. Mboi. The Dua, I'm sorry. The Dua. It's said to have a 20-foot wingspan, which is larger than the 10-foot to 6-foot wingspan. Of the Ropin, 20-foot wingspan, and has a bony crest on its head. That's pretty impressive that they have two. But again, we have these different creatures. Same descriptions. Different creatures, same descriptions. The Dua, just a little bit bigger, though. The Dua is just a little bit bigger. It's impressive, to say the least, but it makes you think, what are we missing if it's real? What are we missing if it's real? What are we missing if this thing exists? I mean, bioluminescence, that's a whole new ball game, first of all. Bioluminescence on its own is a... We can see it at work in the animal kingdom already as a warning system. Squids use it to also, you know, show different emotions and different, you know, like if there's food or if they're feeding or da-da-da or da-da-da or, you know. Bees use movement. So do you need that realistically? So several things, but back to the bioluminescence. I don't know why I said bees use movement because that's not fucking, I mean, it's fascinating, but not part of this. But, you know, squid, anglerfish use bioluminescence to track or to entice prey. Maybe using that bioluminescence on the top of the water is enticing prey to come up towards the top, and it's just skimming that surface. Never know. It's interesting to say the least that we have these two creatures still around today, still being reported to this day. There are creatures in Texas that have the same description as a pterosaur that are around on the plains that fly around and people see them. People see them on, they're on driving down the road on fence posts. People see them in fields, you know, flying over landscapes and cattle, in horses. It's insane. And of course, these are supposed last dinosaurs. These are creatures that were once thought extinct. And like I said, we have Loch Ness Monster. We have that everyone praises a plesiosaur. We have Moquelumbimbe. We have, there are others. Heck, even Australia has a long thought extinct, gigantic Komodo dragon-like creature called the Megalania. This huge Komodo dragon-like creature, gigantic, like could eat a human whole. And that thing was running around, and they think that it's still running around. They're like, we're not sure. It could be somewhere out there. May seem crazy, but I mean, they've had sightings. I mean, we can't rule it out. I mean, heck, they're even like in Tasmania, they're still trying to see if they can't spot the Tasmanian tiger. So they're, and we have not only the goblin shark and the frilled shark, which were thought to be extinct, that are still alive and well. The coelacanth fish, the Lazarus fish, pretty much. The coelacanth was thought to be extinct. Now we know that they live in deeper waters. They're still alive. They're still out there in breeding numbers. So it's crazy. What else could survive? What else could make it and you know, be out there still? Moquelumbimbe, dragons, maybe fairies, all sorts of creatures. You know, but I want to know, what are these people seeing in Africa and what are these people seeing in Papua New Guinea? I mean, Papua New Guinea has a kind of a very basic, their language is very different from anything else you'll ever hear. For them, a helicopter is called Mixmaster Brigham Jesus. Because it's like a Mixmaster blender, and it comes from the sky. Mixmaster Brigham Jesus, or Cumum Jesus. That's what they call a helicopter. Because for them, that's just what they identify it with. They identify it with coming from the sky like Jesus and has the blade on the top like a blender. Mixmaster Brigham /Cumum Jesus. It's funny that's how they do it. I mean, it may seem funny to you, but culturally, that's how they speak and that's how they identify a helicopter. I mean, I'm sure a majority of them now, that's probably an older a thing with the older generations, but I'm sure the future generations are like, helicopter. That's a helicopter, dude. But in there, I think it's pigeon toe or pigeon tongue for Papua New Guinea is what they speak. That's in their language. That's what a helicopter is. So it's what have they seen? What is their, I mean, it's their island that these things are living on. The Dua. That sounds fucking ominous. The Dua. It's a giant, I mean, that sounds like the Quetzalcoatl. Quetzalcoatlus. But Quetzalcoatl. The giant giant pterosaur that, you know, exists a long time ago. Huge creature. Huge. Giant. Like, that could be your Thunderbird. I mean, are we missing that? And this bioluminescence, like the bioluminescence of the Ropan. What is that? Is it actual like bioluminescence for, you know, hunting? Is it a defense mechanism against something that lives in the water, maybe? Who knows? What's up with that? I mean, that's crazy. First of all, that's crazy in its own right, because it's like, whoa, this thing flies around at night glowing. Lasts for like 4 or 5 seconds. Is it a mating display? You know, I mean, it kind of, glowing in the dark is kind of a great way to pinpoint where you are to your enemies that might not rely on being in the water to hunt you. But it's also a great way to lure fish up. They see that light and they want to, it may be curious, may make them curious. Then you just swoop in and skim the water, catch you a meal like a pelican and enjoy. Or like a giant dua, enjoy. You're going to break some, also, what are these people in Africa seeing? That they know what a bat looks like. They know what saddle bill, they know what shoe bill storks look like. What are they seeing? I mean, it's not just imaginary to them. These creatures are real. They see them. They know what birds look like. So are they actually just sitting there and going, yeah, that's it, man. That's it right there. Sure, buddy. Are they messing with people, or are they serious? Like, no, that's a saddlebill stork. That, I don't know what that is, but that's it. That's what I've been seeing. That's the thing that's wrecked. You know, flipped over two of my canoes because it's flown low over me, buzzed me and knocked me out of my canoe and tipped the canoe over. That's the thing that's been taking swoops at me like a magpie in Australia. You know, these European explorers aren't dumb either, but that would be the one group that I could see at the times that they were coming through in the earlier times of non-cataloged animals. I could see European explorers mistaking saddlebill, shoebill storks, giant bats for pteranodons or monsters because they've never seen this before. I mean, the highly urbanized, modernized areas of the United States and anywhere else in the world, we don't really see lots of animals in the city. You might see a few deer, some bats, birds, fox, coyote, maybe, depending on how close to the woods in the country you live. You don't really see those things in the suburbs and cities. Like I said, bobcats, coyotes, maybe. Yeah, you'll see them in the suburbs, depending on how far out from the city center you are. But in main city centers, you're not going to see a lot of animals that are not pigeons, cats, dogs, mice, rats, snakes, even snakes. I'll say snakes, though, because snakes can get into places, man. They can, and they have a way. They have a way. But maybe so could these pteranodons. Could they have a way? And as John Hammond so famously said in Jurassic Park, life finds a way. And he's absolutely right. It does. These creatures, they don't need any kind of camouflage. They don't need to really hide from us because they've been surviving without us for these billions and millions of years since they've been on this planet. And if it is a dinosaur, if it is an extinct, if it's an animal that should be extinct or that we thought was extinct and turns out to be alive, well, then we don't need to mess with it. We need to leave it alone. Let them breed, be free, and have dinosaur babies so we can enjoy them in the future and ride dinosaurs like dino riders. If you don't know that show, I don't know what to say for you. Go check it out. Humans versus weird frog, ant, shark, creature, aliens. And they all went back in time and rode dinosaurs with lasers. Really cool. Really cool. By Tyco RC. That's who built it. So, they built the toys. Anyways, boys and girls, you've wasted enough time with me. I hope you enjoyed this paranormal rabbit hole. I hope you enjoyed these two other dinosaurs that might still be out there, because they are quite the creatures. Very mind-boggling, very astounding. But other than that, that's it. Have a great night. And of course, as always, thank you for going down this paranormal rabbit hole with me. Good night.